countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Now with our highest ever readership of 321,000 weekly readers. Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Get Irish Country Living, your magazine for rural Ireland, every week inside the Irish Farmers Journal.
At Tesco, we've got something for everyone this bank holiday. Exclusive to Tesco, pick up Farpit Ultimate Burgers and more, any three for €10. Farpit barbecue buns and hot dog rolls from €1.45. Plus the perfect drink. Mywadi Orange 1 litre and 7-Up Lemon and Lime 2 litre, now 3 for €3. Shop all of our top offers online today at tesco.ie. Tesco, every little helps.
You can do pretty much anything in just a few taps. Buy a car, book a holiday, and now you can even apply for a permanent TSB digital current account in-app in minutes. It's quick, it's mobile. It's the start of making your everyday banking easier. Now that's permanent support. Application in your sole name for over 18 personal customers and residents of the Republic of Ireland only. Qualifying criteria, terms and conditions apply. Permanent TSB PLC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
RTE Radio 1.
Mrs. Brown's Boys, the live show. Coming to the Tree Arena in Dublin.
Have friends, but not too many.
Mrs. Brown's Boys.
I have no hair on my face.
Mrs. Brown's Boys, the live show. Tree Arena, Friday, November 11th and Saturday, November 12th.
See you there.
Tickets available now from Ticketmaster.ie.
Entertainment updates on RTE Radio 1. Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Now with our highest ever readership of 321,000 weekly readers.
The All-Ireland Pollinator Plan has been running since 2015, encouraging the preservation of wild habitats for our 99 species of bees. And more recently, Wind Energy Ireland has developed new guidelines on creating a bee-friendly environment at the country's wind farms. Well, Lorna Siggins got more than she bargained for when she visited the Galway Wind Farm, because there she found out about the work with birds as well as with the bees.
So here from this vantage point beside T24, Turbine 24, we can see the expanse of Galway Bay and the burn in the distance, terminating with the Cliffs of Moher just out there directly in front of us. Then we have various lakes here, the Bolishka, which is the freshwater public water system for South Connemara. Then we have Seacon Loch just here in front of us. And when they were naming these two lakes, I think they ran out of names. They're referred to as Nagaulucha. Then in the distance we can also see Inishir, Inishman and Inishmore, and back in through Rossaville, and then behind us then we have the mountains of Connemara and the 12.
I'm with John O'Sullivan and Carmel Brennan, environmental advisors with SSE Airtricity, and we're also with Aveen Byrne of Wind Energy Ireland. We've just walked up the Peak Ridge Trail, one of a number of trails at the Galway Wind Park, the state's largest wind farm. It's very windy, keeping 58 turbines very happy. And then Carmel notices something at her foot.
Come around this side here.
Okay, so we're up at, 250 metres, and what have we actually here now?
We have, it's a little white-tailed bumblebee, a buff-tailed bumblebee, I think, and she is crawling, looks like a queen. She's crawling in and out of a hole at the base of the hardstand area here, just so in and out of the long vegetation, long grass essentially. This could be her nest. She could be just landing there. There's some louseworth in flowers, so she might be looking for that as well. But yeah, it looks like she's busy. She's trying to get her some pollen together and feed her brood. First brood of the year, probably.
Because it is quite exposed up here.
It is. Now, the wind is coming from the other side, so this is a classic example of, it's an earth bank. There's some vegetation, there's some bare area, so it's ideal for possibly both bumblebees and solitary bees, that they could nest into it. It's a bit of shelter. These species, the bumblebees, are adapted to, you know, the vegetation that's here. The vegetation is adapted to the the bees themselves, they both need each other. They've evolved together. So if they're happy to be here, if they're finding enough food, enough shelter, enough safety, that's everything they need. They're just, they're like us in that respect.
She's flying around there.
Just in this area here, there is a good bit, there's a little bit of flowering.
A little bit of heather.
Yeah, there's a little bit of heather. That's Louseworth, that pink one there that's in flower, so that's quite early.
Right.
And as I say, there's a bit of tormental and that's starting to come out. There's some narthecium there as well, but that's not quite coming out yet. There seems to be enough for her, basically.
Right, and there'll be more. There'll be a bit more than...
Yeah, I mean, look here as well. Thistles, dandelions all around the edge as well. They are the early flowers, especially the dandelions, clover, that kind of thing.
Right. So how big would that little colony be then?
Even about 200?
Yeah, I think they tend to be like around 40 to 400, but, you know, maybe 1 or 200 might be more common. And when you see, like, this early in the season, when you see these queens out... It's because they're just getting the colony started. So they're putting in all the work right now. They're having to get their first brood ready of workers. And that's another reason why it's so important this time of year to try get as much flowers and food available for these bees as possible. Because if they fly too far and they can't get a food source on the way, they can get exhausted. And it's quite a common sight, particularly in the summer, to see a grounded bee. And they're just exhausted. They can't find food and they can't get back to the nest. Oh. And this is why it's so important to make these connected patches of habitat. If that queen dies, then that's the whole colony gone.
Okay.
You know.
Right. So we were very lucky now to find her here.
Yeah.
Well, here we're in conifer plantation, really. So the majority of it is under conifers. But we have these wide strips here adjacent to the track. We have fire breaks and just margins of land that still hold the original heather and bog habitat that was originally here. And what we're trying to do with the pollinator plan is just... look after them, leave them be. Don't drain them, don't fertilise them, don't reseed them. You know, if they're working fine by themselves, just let them be. And that is probably one of the key messages.
You have a robin listening to you there. So we're a bit early, are we, for some of the flowers that you'd have up here?
The heather is probably the big thing here. And that will start kind of coming out May, June into July. And you'll see it flower, you know, abundantly maybe towards the end of the summer. So, you know, when we were... drawn pictures as kids, we used to draw the hills as purple, and that purple represented the heather that was blooming at that time.
So John, you had to open up some corridors for particular birds.
Yeah, in consultation with National Parks and Wildlife Service, let's just say we're aware that the Greenland white-fronted geese were wintering here. We also had Hooper swans, and their typical trajectory would be between lakes. So for that reason, we removed turbines that were between the lakes to allow them free passage during, say, foggy periods where visibility may be poor.
And then you'd have red grouse, woodcock, skylark, snipe, meadow pipits, white-tailed seagull. Have you seen a white-tailed seagull up here?
We have indeed. The white-tailed seagull arrived just as we were trying to get planning permission. Fortunately, the white-tailed seagull has lived here peacefully, has had some chicks, and we'd see them around the wind park occasionally. These birds are absolutely magnificent. They will traverse the country in a day.
Right. So you've seen the white-tailed seagull yourself, have you?
We have indeed, yeah. As a matter of fact, one of the chicks would be quite timid and would often sit at the side of the road as you'd pass by with the jeep. We've also seen snowy owl here on site. So quite a variety, over 45 different species would basically be on or around the site.
Right. And there is a perception that wind turbines are harmful to bird life.
Yeah, birds are very intelligent creatures. There are occasional problems with birds, certain species in particular. We have an ongoing bird monitoring program here, and we do inspections around the turbines to check for any collisions with turbines. And to date, thank God, we haven't had any. The only fatality we've found here on site has been a bat in the early days. We don't have hen harrier in the area. That's one of the, I suppose, species that has suffered in certain parts of the country, but let's say we have we've been very fortunate here.
Lorna Siggins reporting there from Galway. More information at pollinator.ie.